Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, which monitors safe driving habits to determine a personalized rate at progressive.com. Not available in California and North Carolina or from all agents.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library's Spring Book Sale on April 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, with books, CDs, and audiobooks. Details at lplff.org.
Partly cloudy skies this evening, then clearing with a low in the lower 30s. Freeze warnings going into effect at midnight. It's 58 degrees in Lawrence, and the time is 6:06.
Of condoning the violence. And that's unacceptable. For NPR News, I'm Aubrey Juhas in Philadelphia.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Raven Bookstore, presenting a book launch for I Am My Country, the debut short story collection from Kenan Orhan on April 25th at 7 p.m. More at ravenbookstore.com/events.
Thanks so much for joining us this evening. Coming up in just about 12 minutes, an update of news headlines. Then voices of resistance from Sudan. We will talk about interest rates, and we will have a conversation with members of the Alt Latino group chat. All of that before 7 o'clock. Many, many thanks to Kent Sunderland for his challenge that was made during our pledge drive. We have very successfully met that challenge, and many, many thanks to you for participating, but especially right now to Jeff Zadanowitz of Kansas City, Missouri, Linda McWilliams of Topeka, Linda Ensminger of Fredonia, and Faye Leach of Garnett, who answered the call and became members of KPR. Thanks to everyone who's been participating in this pledge drive. Thanks most of all for listening and supporting KPR in whatever way you can. If you would like still to become a member, it's not like we just turn off the tap. You can become a member right now at kansaspublicradio.org. Again, thanks so much to all of you who pledged, who called, who contributed in some way. Partly cloudy skies this evening, then clearing with a low in the lower 30s. A freeze warning goes into effect at midnight for a large part of the KPR listening area, including Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, and Abilene. It is 58 degrees in Lawrence, it's 60 in Topeka. The time is 6:20.
$1 billion investment to accelerate our momentum on homelessness.
I'm Adrian Florido, LA Mayor Karen Bass on homelessness and public safety. That's tomorrow on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us beginning at 4 o'clock on your KPR stations for Weekend All Things Considered.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, presenting their annual Dole Lecture, Tuesday evening, April 25th at 7, featuring Senators Trent Lott and Tom Daschle, who are both longtime colleagues of Senator Bob Dole. More at doleinstitute.org.
Stay tuned. News headlines are coming up next. Don't forget you can still make a pledge of support to KPR at kansaspublicradio.org anytime. It's 58 degrees in Lawrence. It's 6:30.
Corporation fell by just over 1.5%. David Gura, NPR News, New York.
The tech-heavy NASDAQ gained. You're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Kansas Democratic Governor Laura Kelly has signed a multi-billion dollar state budget bill. But as Rose Conlon reports, she rejected several more controversial provisions.
The balanced budget directs over $500 million to the Kansas Rainy Day Fund. Kelly touted investments in the economy and higher education, but she vetoed certain proposals, including a plan to establish an anti-abortion counseling program and a provision that would have banned some diversity hiring measures at state colleges. Republican House Speaker Dan Hawkins criticized the large number of line item vetoes and said the legislature will attempt to override many of them next week. Lawmakers still have to iron out a plan for funding K-12 schools, which makes up the majority of state spending. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Rose Conlin in Wichita.
The Keystone oil spill in Kansas was partly caused by stress put on the pipeline during construction. Celia Yopis-Jepson reports.
TC Energy says an independent report shows the problems that led to the Keystone spill started a decade ago. During construction, the pipe experienced bending stresses sufficient to start a crack. That's how TC Energy describes the independent findings, but it has not made the document public. More than 500,000 gallons of crude oil spilled in Washington County. TC Energy and the EPA disagree on the exact amount. TC Energy says it has recovered 98% of the oil. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Celia Yopis-Jepson.
A Topeka man is now in police custody and facing multiple charges after a 14-year-old girl was reported missing from North Platte, Nebraska. Police in North Platte say they located the missing teenager and 26-year-old Cameron Quinton of Topeka on Wednesday morning. KNOP-TV reports that Quinton was taken into custody for kidnapping. Nebraska authorities were assisted by the Topeka Police Department, the Kansas Bureau of Investigation, and the FBI. A freeze warning goes into effect at midnight. It runs through 9 o'clock tomorrow morning for Brown, Clay, Cloud, Dickinson, Douglas, Geary, Jackson, Jefferson, Morris, Nemaha, Ottawa, Pottawatomie, Riley, Shawnee, and Waubonsie counties. Freeze warning beginning at 1 a.m. for Atchison, Doniphan, and Leavenworth counties. A freeze watch for the entire KPR listening area goes into effect late Saturday night and runs through Sunday morning. So make arrangements. Take care of the sensitive vegetation you may have in your garden. It's 58 degrees in Lawrence. It's 6:35.
Support for NPR.
But I want to say that KPR is really the station I go to every time I want to listen to just about anything. Great classical music, great jazz, great news. They basically have everything I need. And I hope you will be active about supporting it. Take care.
Well, thank you, Bill. Bill Schaefer, a happy customer of KPR. You can join him as a member of Kansas Public Radio online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 96.1 FM in Lawrence, always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for tuning in. A little bit more All Things Considered yet to come. If you're joining us on KPR One Station, stay tuned at 7:01, an update of news headlines, followed by Stardate. Then we will be taking a look back at three-time Oscar winner Maurice Jarre's career, stretching from 1951 into the 1990s, one of the truly great film composers on Film Music Friday. Highlights from Maurice Jarre's career, including music from Dr. Zhivago, Lawrence of Arabia, The Professionals, and more. Film Music Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. on KPR 1. If you're joining us on KPR 2, stay tuned for Snap Judgment. Freeze warnings going into effect overnight. Take caution. Bring in your container plants. Take measures to protect sensitive outdoor vegetation.
More at QNAR.com. And from Peacock, with the new original series, Mrs. Davis, about the world's most powerful artificial intelligence and the nun devoted to destroying her. From Tara Hernandez and Damon Lindelof, streaming now on Peacock. This is NPR.
In this season, as the days grow longer, the sun rises earlier, but never as early as the Morning Edition team, here to bring you the news every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition 5 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on your KPR stations.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library Spring Book Sale on April 21st, 22nd, and 23rd with books, CDs, and audiobooks. Details at lplff.org.
We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1, Emporia, 89.7.
KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3, on the web at kansaspublicradio.org, or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. In the background, we are hearing some probably very familiar strains to you if you are a classic movie fan. Film Music Friday, coming up in just a moment. Daryl Brogdon is your host tonight, focusing on the music of Maurice Jarre. We're hearing a bit from the Lawrence of Arabia score and soundtrack. He also did Dr. Zhivago. He also did The Professionals, Grand Prix, many, many more. Stay tuned. Great music coming your way on Film Music Friday. Don't forget, you can still make a pledge of support to KPR, even though our pledge drive is officially over, but you can sneak in there. We won't stop you. KansasPublicRadio.org. It's really obvious where to point and click and make your pledge. Freeze warning going into effect overnight for most of the KPR listening area, including Lawrence, Topeka, and Manhattan. It's 7:01. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. The Supreme Court is allowing the abortion pill mifepristone to stay on the market and widely available for now. The Justice Department asked the court to rule after lower courts tried to block or limit access to the FDA-approved drug, saying it was improperly approved some 20 years ago. Justices Thomas and Alito dissented. Mary Ziegler is a law professor at the University of California, Davis.
We didn't get anything written from Justice Clarence Thomas. Samuel Alito wrote separately to say that he was not weighing in at this point on whether the FDA had the authority to approve mifepristone. He said nothing about the Comstock Act. Instead, he simply said there was no showing by the FDA that this order was needed to prevent any kind of harm.
Speaking there to NPR's All Things Considered, the drug will be available to people in states where abortion is still legal. The justices left the case in the hands of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is scheduled oral arguments for May 17th. But however that court rules, the case will likely end up back in the hands of the Supreme Court next term. President Biden says his administration will continue to defend the FDA's approval of mifepristone. Hundreds of people gathered in upstate New York today to mourn 20-year-old Kaylin Gillis. She was shot and killed last weekend when the car she was riding in mistakenly pulled into the wrong driveway. From member station WAMC, Jesse King has more.
The line was out the door for a community gathering before a private service. Washington County Sheriff Jeffrey Murphy said the family is distraught.
They're holding on, but it's not easy. I can't imagine being in their spot, their shoes. You know, it's just... it's tragic and it's senseless.
Kaylin Gillis and her friends were searching for a party in the rural Washington County town of Hebron when they mistakenly turned into the driveway of 65-year-old Kevin Monahan. Police say he fired twice, killing Gillis. Monahan is being held on a second-degree murder charge. His lawyer says Monahan was frightened when he pulled the trigger. For NPR News, I'm Jesse King in Schuylerville, New York.
Twitter has dropped recently controversial labels for media organizations. It had falsely labeled NPR as a U.S. state-affiliated media earlier this month. NPR's Mary Yang has more.
Twitter has now nixed its labels for media organizations it had tagged as state-affiliated or government-funded. Dozens of news outlets, including NPR, have quit the platform over that labeling. Earlier this month, Twitter stamped NPR's main account, along with other public broadcasters such as BBC and PBS, as state-affiliated media. That label was an identifier for government-controlled outlets such as Russia's Sputnik and China's Xinhua. NPR maintains editorial independence from the government. Twitter then changed NPR's label to government-funded. NPR quit the platform last week. Mary Yang, NPR News.
This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from CFP, Certified Financial Planner Professionals, committed to acting in their clients' best interests. Learn more at letsmakeaplan.org. Celebrating 70 years on the air at the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. The time is 7:04.
Stardate, April 21st. A meteor shower that's been around for at least 2,700 years is at its best the next couple of nights. It's best viewed between about midnight and dawn, and the moon sets early, so it won't interfere with the sparklers. The Lyrid shower was first recorded by Chinese astronomers in 687 BC. That's farther back than any other current shower. Over the centuries, showers come and go. They're produced by tiny grains of rock and dirt shed by comets or asteroids. That debris spreads out along the parent body's orbital path. Earth flies through this path every April. The particles ram into our atmosphere at more than 100,000 miles per hour. They vaporize, forming the glowing streaks of light known as meteors or shooting stars. But meteor showers don't last forever. The orbits of Earth and the parent comets and asteroids naturally move out of sync. In addition, the comets and asteroids can be pushed around by the gravity of Jupiter and other planets. That changes their paths. So over time, meteor showers come and go, but the Lyrids have stuck around longer than any other shower yet recorded. The Lyrids are named for Lyra, the harp. That's because the meteors all appear to rain into the sky from near the constellation's brightest star, Vega. They can zip across any part of the sky, though, so you don't need to look at Lyra to see them. But the view is best after Lyra rises to prominence, around midnight. We have more skywatching tips and much more about the universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
That's Maurice Jarre's overture for Lawrence of Arabia, composed in 1962, played here by the City of Prague Philharmonic on KPR's Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Welcome again to the show featuring the music of the movies. And tonight we're hearing the work of three-time Oscar winner Maurice Jarre, a composer whose career stretched across five decades and gave music to films like Dr. Zhivago, The Man Who Would Be King, Fatal Attraction, and Ghost. He was perhaps best known for scoring large-scale epics, but was equally at home with more intimate films, too. Later in the hour, there's more from Lawrence of Arabia, Jarre's first international hit, plus The Longest Day and The Professionals. Maurice Jarre was born in Lyon in 1924. He was enrolled in the engineering school at the Sorbonne when he dropped out, much against his father's wishes, to study music at the Paris Conservatory. In the early 50s, he became music director at the People's National Theater in Paris and scored his first film, a documentary short, in 1951. Until about 1959, Maurice Jarre worked mainly on documentary films. One of his first notable film scores was for Eyes Without a Face, a very stylish 1960 horror film directed by Georges Franju, about a surgeon determined to perform a face transplant on his daughter, who's been disfigured in a car accident. The music here walks the line between the grotesque and the playful, sort of like a Charles Adams cartoon. This is music for Eyes Without a Face on KPR's Film Music Friday. Oh, music by Maurice Jarre for Eyes Without a Face, directed in 1960 by Georges Franju. And here on Kansas Public Radio's Film Music Friday. Tonight, we're spotlighting the work of Academy Award winner Maurice Jarre, whose career as a film composer began in 1951 and lasted until the early 2000s. Still to come, we'll hear Jarre's work on the epic World War II film The Longest Day and The Professionals. A number of composers had been approached to write the score for David Lean's Lawrence of Arabia in 1962, including Sir William Walton and Malcolm Arnold. At one point, the producer, Sam Spiegel, even planned to use music from three different composers. But when director David Lean heard Maurice Jarre's main theme for the film, he was immediately hired to write the entire score, with only a few weeks to complete the whole job. To complete the assignment, Jarre alternated 4 hours work with 10 minutes sleep and won his first Oscar for the thrilling score that makes use of exotic instruments to evoke the mystique of the Middle East and the burning desert sun. Here's more of the music by Maurice Jarre for Lawrence of Arabia on KPR.
Thank you.
music for David Lean's Lawrence of Arabia, 1962, composed by Maurice Jarre on KPR's Film Music Friday. Jarre won his first Oscar for his work on this film, and his international career took off. The experience also forged a very strong working relationship with director David Lean, so much so that Lean didn't work again with a composer other than Maurice Jarre. Coming up, we'll hear another epic score, this time for an action-packed, testosterone-driven adventure featuring an all-star cast, The Professionals, from 1966. That's in the next half hour here on KPR. Tomorrow on the Moth Radio Hour, stories of mistakes, perseverance, and lessons learned, often the hard way. Alice Schaefer, a preacher's daughter, grows up in fear of the lessons learned in Sunday school. Dawn Ross tries to adjust to life in rural Arkansas. We'll hear those stories and more on the Moth Radio Hour tomorrow at 5 p.m. on all KPR1 stations. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News. Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 99.5 Manhattan, and at kansaspublicradio.org. That's a march created by Maurice Jarre for The Longest Day in 1962, and here for you on Kansas Public Radio. This, of course, is the epic retelling of the D-Day invasion, and featured an all-star cast, including John Wayne, Robert Mitchum, Richard Burton, and Sean Connery. Jarre's march may not have been as popular as Elmer Bernstein's for The Great Escape, which came out around the same time, but it's equally stirring. French composer Maurice Jarre is the focus of tonight's Film Music Friday. I'm Darryl Brogdon. We'll have news from NPR at 8:01 and much more still to come tonight. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, presenting their annual Dole Lecture, Tuesday evening at 7, featuring Senators Trent Lott and Tom Daschle, who were both longtime colleagues of Senator Bob Dole. More at doleinstitute.org. In 1917, four soldiers of fortune are hired by a wealthy rancher to rescue his young wife, who's been kidnapped by a villainous Mexican bandit. When they finally find her, after fighting their way across deserts and mountains, they find out she's not being held against her will at all. So then it's a question of, do they fulfill their agreement or do the right thing? That's the plot of The Professionals, a terrific adventure film starring Lee Marvin, Burt Lancaster, Robert Ryan, and Woody Strode as the four would-be rescuers, with Jack Palance as the supposed bad guy and Claudia Cardinale as the damsel who's not in distress. This is a movie of exciting action sequences, terrific performances, and a top-notch score by Maurice Jarre. Here is music for The Professionals on KPR's Film Music Friday. Music for the Professionals, directed by Richard Brooks in 1996, and here on KPR. It's hard to go wrong with a great cast, a story with plenty of twists and turns, and a rousing score by Maurice Jarre. The movie is great fun, a real popcorn. Oscar nominations for Richard Brooks and for cinematographer Conrad Hall. It's the work of composer Maurice Jarre on tonight's Film Music Friday. He started out to become an engineer, but switched to music while still a college student, and went on to a 50-year career in films, receiving 9 Academy Award nominations and scoring 3 Oscars. I'm Daryl Brogdon. We will take a pause for NPR News at 8:01. Then it's more from Maurice Jarre, including themes from Grand Prix, Dr. Zhivago, The Man Who Would Be King, and more. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight for Film Music Friday. And please remember, if you miss the broadcast, you can also listen to the show on demand. Just go to kansaspublicradio.org and click on Music to find Film Music Friday. Or the free KPR app, you'll find the show among the on-demand offerings and stream it right to your smartphone. For information on all the ways you can listen to Film Music Friday, visit our website, kansaspublicradio.org.
Breakfast, they say, is the most important meal of the day. And Morning Edition brings you the most important news of the day.
Yo, Chris, what is a yo-yo car sale?
And also stories like that. We're asking the tough questions.
So if I'm a Beyonce fan, what is the process of getting a ticket?
We take the world as it comes, and you can come along with us on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Start your day informed with Morning Edition, weekday mornings from 5 to 9 a.m. right here at KPR. Celebrating 70 years on the air at the University of Kansas, it's your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. On the web at kansaspublicradio.org, or just tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. The President and Vice President are celebrating the Supreme Court's decision to grant a stay in the abortion pill case. As NPR's Tamara Keith reports, that means mifepristone, which is used in more than half the abortions in the U.S., will remain widely available.
In a statement, President Biden says he stands by the FDA's approval of mifepristone, and his administration will, quote, continue to defend the FDA's independent expert authority to review, approve, and regulate a wide range of prescription drugs. A lower court judge had ruled the FDA shouldn't have approved the abortion drug more than 20 years ago. The Supreme Court left the case to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, but blocked the lower court ruling from going into effect. Biden also called on voters to elect members of Congress who will restore the protections of Roe versus Wade. In her statement, Vice President Harris said no one should stand between a woman and her doctor. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
The National Football League is suspending 5 players for violating its policy on gambling. As Quinn Kleinfelter of member station WDET reports, 4 of those players are with the Detroit Lions.
The NFL suspended 3 players indefinitely, 2 Detroit Lions and 1 member of the Washington Commanders, who reportedly bet on pro football games, something the league strictly prohibits. A review found the players did not use inside information to make the bets. Detroit immediately released the players involved. 2 other Lions received 6-game suspensions for gambling on non-NFL sports while at a team facility. That includes Jameson Williams, a college superstar recovering from a knee injury, who is said to be a key part of Detroit's team this year. The NFL itself has reached lucrative partnership agreements with several sports betting organizations. For NPR News, I'm Quinn Kleinfelter in Detroit.
Sudan is under a 3-day tentative ceasefire for both the Sudanese Armed Forces and the Rapid Support Forces, although gunfire has already been reported. The fierce fighting has left hundreds dead, many more injured.
White House officials say there are no plans right now to evacuate the 16,000 Americans believed to be in the country. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says Americans who are not a part of the embassy staff have been warned over the past year to be ready to evacuate.
We urged Americans to use commercial options to leave the country while those options were still readily available. We also offered financial assistance to those who needed help departing the country in accordance with our standard counselor services for American citizens in these sorts of extraordinary situations.
And she says the U.S. has made it clear to both sides that any attacks, threats, or danger posed to American diplomats are unacceptable. Wall Street higher by the closing bell. The Dow was up 22 points. You're listening to NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from ECMC Foundation, working to improve post-secondary educational outcomes for underserved students through evidence-based innovation. Learn more at ecmcfoundation.org. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio. It's 8:04. That's the overture by Maurice Jarre for Grand Prix, the 1966 film about Formula One racing, directed by John Frankenheimer. This is Film Music Friday on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Tonight, we're hearing the work of composer Maurice Jarre, a three-time Oscar winner and creator of music for more than 150 films during his 50-year career. Later tonight, High Adventure with John Huston's The Man Who Would Be King, plus A Passage to India and Gorillas in the Mist. Maybe the most substantial work relationship of Jarre's career was with director David Lean. Jarre won his first Oscar for his work on Lean's Lawrence of Arabia in 1962. Their next collaboration was Dr. Zhivago in 1965, based on the novel by Boris Pasternak. It's a sprawling tale of a Russian doctor and poet who falls in love with the wife of a political activist set against the turbulent Russian Revolution. The movie got bad reviews at first, but thanks to an aggressive marketing campaign by MGM, Dr. Zhivago went on to become the second highest-grossing movie of 1965, second only to The Sound of Music. Plus, it gave rise to one of Maurice Jarre's most popular tunes, Laura's Theme, which he wrote for the film and which became a top 40 hit. Here's a suite drawn from Maurice Jarre's score for Dr. Zhivago on KPR's Film Music Friday. Thank you. Maurice Jarre's music for Dr. Zhivago, 1965, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. The film was roasted by the critics, but it became an international hit, earning 10 Oscar nominations and winning Jarre his second Oscar. Still to come, we'll hear Jarre's score for the epic adventure based on Rudyard Kipling's story, The Man Who Would Be King. Well, Maurice Jarre and director David Lean worked together again in 1970 on Ryan's Daughter, another large-scale epic, this one set against the backdrop of the Troubles in Ireland, where a schoolmaster's wife in a small Irish village has an affair with a troubled British officer. Once again, critics didn't think much of the film. In fact, the negative reviews for Ryan's Daughter shook up David Lean so much he didn't make another film for many years. Jarre's music for this film is by turns ethereal and comic and always moving. Here's a suite drawn from his score for Ryan's Daughter on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
music of Ryan's Daughter, 1970, composed by Maurice Jarre, and here on KPR's Film Music Friday. It was the third of four collaborations between Jarre and director David Lean, who stopped making movies for several years because of the negative reviews this film received at the time. We're hearing the work of composer Maurice Jarre tonight on Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon, and still to come, the fourth and final collaboration between Jarre and David Lean for 1984's A Passage to India. Tomorrow on the Moth Radio Hour, we've got stories of mistakes, perseverance, and lessons learned, oftentimes the hard way. Alice Schaefer is a preacher's daughter who grows up in fear of the lessons learned in Sunday school. Dawn Ross tries to adjust to life in rural Arkansas. We'll hear those stories and more on the Moth Radio Hour. It's tomorrow at 5 p.m. right here on KPR. From the University of Kansas and celebrating 70 years on the air, it's Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, and at kansaspublicradio.org. here's music from The Man Who Would Be King, directed by John Huston in 1975, featuring music by Maurice Jarre on KPR's Film Music Friday. Based on a story by Rudyard Kipling, this is High Adventure in Grand Hollywood Style. It was a pet project for director John Huston for many years. He originally hoped to produce it in the 50s with Clark Gable and Humphrey Bogart. That would have been an interesting film. After many stops and starts, it was finally made in 1975 with Sean Connery and Michael Caine. And you know, after watching this film, it's amazing to think they weren't the first choices for the roles of Daniel Dravot and Peachy Carnahan. Maurice Jarre's music is just splendid for such escapist entertainment. He invited classical Indian musicians to participate in the recording sessions with a traditional symphony orchestra, so they blended the musical styles for a more authentic flavor, and all based around the Irish song The Minstrel Boy, which features in the plot. Coming up on Film Music Friday, some of Jarre's score for Gorillas in the Mist, a film about the life of primatologist and conservationist Diane Fossey. Now we come to the last collaboration between Maurice Jarre and director David Lean. After the bad reviews for Ryan's Daughter, Lean took a hiatus from filmmaking and in the early 80s began development of E.M. Forster's A Passage to India, written in 1924. The film, like the book, deals with the delicate balance between the English and the Indians during the British Raj. Jarre wrote 45 minutes of music in 2 weeks for this film. It was to be his fourth and final work with David Lean, and he won his third Oscar. This is music for A Passage to India on KPR.
Thank you.
Laurie Jarre's Oscar-winning music for Passage to India, 1984, directed by David Lean, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. That's a live performance by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by the composer. A Passage to India was the last film for David Lean, about whom Maurice Jarre once said, "I owe him everything. He gave me the best pictures, the opportunity to receive 3 Oscars for 4 films, not so bad, and he gave me his friendship." It's Film Music Friday. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Glad you're able to join us tonight. We'll have a news update from NPR at 9:01. Dian Fossey was a conservationist and animal expert whose focus was to study and protect African mountain gorillas. Inspired by anthropologist Louis Leakey, Fossey left her job in San Francisco and relocated to the remote jungles of the Congo and Rwanda, where she established a research center in order to study these endangered creatures, and where she ultimately died under mysterious circumstances. The film about her life, Gorillas in the Mist, features another score by Maurice Jarre, one of the films in which he embraced electronic music and synthesizers, maybe as a result of the success of his son Jean-Michel, who is a prominent composer of electronic music. Almost every cue in this film is a mix of electronic and acoustic music, African tribal rhythms, cello solos, and action music. Gorillas in the Mist on Kansas Public Radio. That's music for Gorillas in the Mist by Maurice Jarre, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. Char went on from here to write many more film scores, including films like Dead Poets Society, Fatal Attraction, and Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. He won 3 Oscars in his 50-year career and is considered one of the greatest composers of Hollywood's Silver Age. Maury Char died in 2009. Well, I hope you've enjoyed tonight's Film Music Friday and that you'll join me again here every week to celebrate the music of the movies. I'm Daryl Brogdon with a reminder that you can also stream the show on demand in a variety of ways at kansaspublicradio.org. Just click on Music to find Film Music Friday. With the free KPR app, you can stream it right to your smartphone. And if you have the KPR skill enabled on your Amazon smart speakers, anytime you say play KPR, you can also stream shows on demand, including this one. Details about all this are available at kansaspublicradio.org. News is next from NPR, followed by Bob McWilliams and Jazz in the Night. All right here on Kansas Public Radio stations.
I'm Layla Faldin. Morning Edition from NPR News makes mornings more bearable.
Scientists at the University of Arizona came face to snout with a satellite picture of what looks like a teddy bear etched on the red planet's surface.
And we always pause for a little joy.
The Puppy Bus is run by a local dog walking and training service called Mo Mountain Mutts.
Join us for the show that never forgets to have fun. All right, I'm done with these puns. Listen every weekday.
Morning Edition is on the air weekdays from 5 to 9 a.m. right here at KPR. Your place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday. From the University of Kansas, we're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. A big thanks to everybody who participated in KPR's Campaign for Excellence, our spring pledge drive, which wound up just a few hours ago. If you meant to pledge but didn't, you can do it now at kansaspublicradio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Hurst. The Supreme Court is allowing the abortion pill mifepristone to stay on the market and widely available for now. The Justice Department asked the court to rule after lower courts tried to block or limit access to the FDA-approved drug, saying it was improperly approved some 20 years ago. Justices Thomas and Alito dissented. Mary Ziegler is a law professor at the University of California, Davis.
We didn't get anything written from Justice Clarence Thomas. Samuel Alito wrote separately to say that he was not weighing in at this point on whether the FDA had the authority to approve mifepristone. He said nothing about the Comstock Act. Instead, he simply said there was no showing by the FDA that this order was needed to prevent any kind of harm.
Speaking there to NPR's All Things Considered, the drug will be available to people in states where abortion is still legal. The justice has left the case in the hands of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which has scheduled oral arguments for May 17th. President Biden today announced the creation of the White House Office of Environmental Justice. NPR's Shema Bayram reports that the goal is to centralize environmental justice efforts across the federal government.
The executive order President Biden signed calls for more research on the effects of climate change and pollution, particularly in low-income communities and communities of color, which are more likely to have poor health outcomes due to environmental inequities.
Environmental justice will be the mission of the entire government.
Sociology professor Robert Bullard is often called the father of environmental justice. He praised the executive order as a good first step.
The legislation and the funds are available. The challenge is to ensure that the money goes to the right place.
The office will oversee implementation of federal environmental justice initiatives. Shema Bayram, NPR News.
The acting head of the Federal Aviation Administration is leaving. Billy Nolen says he will stay through the summer. The FAA is under scrutiny after several close calls between airplanes. And the agency hasn't had a Senate-confirmed leader in a year after President Biden's first pick to run the agency withdrew in March when it became clear he wouldn't be confirmed. Stocks ended the week lower. The tech-heavy NASDAQ fell by about 0.4%. And Pierce David Gura has more.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost almost 0.25%, and the broad-based S&P 500 was off by 0.1%. The big banks reported earnings early in the week, and most of them said they've had no trouble navigating the fallout from the failures of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. That's something the heads of many regional lenders echoed during conference calls with Wall Street analysts. Fifth Third Bank Corp and Comerica both ended the week higher. Salt Lake City-based Zion Bank Corporation fell by just over 1.5%. David Gura, NPR News, New York.
And Wall Street was higher by the close, the Dow up 22 points. This is NPR News. Climate change is causing glaciers to melt rapidly. NPR's Rebecca Hersher reports melting often leaves behind dangerous lakes.
Glacial lakes are held back by piles of rock and leftover ice, and that natural dam can be unstable. If the water escapes all at once, it causes a flash flood that can be deadly to people downstream. The Himalayan mountains are one hot spot for such lakes. Finu Shrestha is a leading scientist on the topic. She works at the International Center for Integrated Mountain Development, a research institute in Kathmandu.
Glaciers are retreating, lakes are forming and expanding.
She and her colleagues are racing to map all the lakes in the region and pinpoint which ones pose the greatest risk. Worldwide, an estimated 15 million people are threatened by floods from glacial lakes. The vast majority live in places where there are currently no warning systems if a flood does occur. Rebecca Hersher, NPR News.
Five NFL players have been suspended for violating gambling policies. Quintus Cephas and C.J. Moore of the Detroit Lions and Chaka Toney of the Washington Commanders are suspended for at least the 2023 season for betting on NFL games. They can petition for reinstatement at the end of this season. Stanley Berryhill and Jameson Williams of the Lions are suspended for the first six regular games of the 2023 season. The NFL League says the betting did not compromise the outcome of any of the games. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia. For 30 years, committed to advancing educational innovations and research that improves pre-K to 12 learning. More at edutopia.org.
Thank you. Our great Kenny Burrell opening tonight's Jazz in the Night on KPR with one of the tunes that Charlie Christian recorded with Benny Goodman in small combo recordings in the late 30s. Rose Room with Phil Woods playing alto sax, Ron Carter on bass, and Grady Tate on drums. Originally, this came out on a Verve album called A Generation Ago Today, recorded in 1967, and then reissued on a CD called Kenny Burrell for Charlie Christian and Benny Goodman. I'm Bob McWilliams. Welcome to Jazz in the Night. In about 15 minutes, we'll hear from saxophonist Tia Fuller. She's in concert tomorrow night at the Folly Theater. Right now, the new one from singer Cecile McLaurin-Salvant, who sings a lot of her songs in French in her new album, including this title track, Melusine, Cecile McLaurin-Salvant on KPR. Cecile McLaurin-Salvant, the title track to her new album, Melusine, which she sings that song in both English and in French. Melusine, a mythical character from European and especially French folklore, a rather powerful woman spirit, often associated, usually associated with water, and sometimes taking human form, and sometimes other things like the, from the waist down, being a fish or a mermaid, and sometimes even having wings. Melusine, Cecil McLaurin Salvant's new album on Kansas Public Radio's Jazz in the Night. Let's hear Ahmad Jamal, who we lost last Sunday at the age of 92. A live album from the Montreux Jazz Festival called Free Flight, and this is Ahmad Jamal's take on the McCoy Tyner piece, Effendi, here on KPR.
Thank you.